Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Into the end zone, touchdown, touchdown.
And he's got it at the 10-yard line.
Touchdown, 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 Buffalo. The Bills win it in overtime.
In our room, can you get that, Steve Printer?
Welcome to the show. Hello there. One Bills Live presented by Kalina Health. It is it's an amazing day here. We're
skidding in sideways to the chairs here.
Just because there's a lot going on.
We got like 19 guys coming on the show today.
And we're not ready for one of them. No, that's not true. It is an amazing day. It is the first open media day of OTAs. Day number two of OTAs. I heard some radio guys today making fun of OTAs. What is this OTAs? It's practice. Well, it's a little bit different. If you're into it and pay attention, OTAs mean something.
They got like 19 guys hurt too. You got ab surgeries. You got a busted feet. You got ankle knee. You got what? And I was thinking about this yesterday. I knew this was going to happen because they come out and all the stuff they do in this team building stuff, the tug of wars and the dodgeballs, and you know they're doing all, and it's a lot of fun, and these guys, and it's good. It's meaningful, and these guys get a little something out of it. And basically, you know, that's what they're limited to do. But when they start playing football like they did yesterday, all of us, and not all these guys got hurt all yesterday, but some of them in the leading up to it, the adrenaline goes up. You know, these guys kind of, something clicks in for them and say, all right, now this, you know, this is why they drafted me, you know, or this is why they signed me. This is why I'm here. Here we go. You know, and they turn it up a notch. And there's no gradual escalation. You know, all this stuff they were able to do is all good, and it's all, you know, physically exerting, but it's not football. And when you start playing football with a little bit of adrenaline rush inside of it, yeah, things start to break. Guys start to give out, you know, pull muscles, all that stuff.
So Sean McDermott had a news conference about 30 minutes ago, and he announced a couple of injuries. Let's give you the list here. Most notably, Tyler Kroft, unrestricted free agent tight end. Tyler Kroft is out. He broke his foot in yesterday's OTA. First OTA, that's what Steve's referring to. First OTA, Tyler Kroft, the tight end, is out. Cole Beasley is out. Mitch Morris is out. Core muscle injuries, groins, apparently, and they have been kind of limited over the last couple of weeks or so. That's not really new. Frank Gore, still dealing with foot and ankle injuries he suffered last season, and he will take it easy today. Rookie David Sills, with a hamstring injury suffered in rookie camp, he is sidelined today. And Jeff Bodine, last year's center, with the shoulder still. Taron Johnson, Raphael Butch, with no contact jersey. Steve and I were out there watching the early portion of the OTA with the rest of the media, and we'll talk about what we saw, but we can take you out there right now. Joining us right now live is Chris Brown, Bills insider from BuffaloBills.com. On the sidelines, outdoors, in the chilly sunshine at Orchard Park, as OTA day number two is underway. Hello, Chris. Welcome to the show.
Yep. Good afternoon, guys. Good to be with you.
What did you think of the injury list, in particular the Tyler Kroft injury that Sean McDermott announced?
Yeah, disappointing to hear that, certainly, especially right off the top. You know, everybody's excited to get out here, watch these guys, you know, first time as a newly assembled roster. And, you know, you're already down three of the offensive free agents that this team picked up, Morse and Beasley, you know, with what sounds to me like sports hernias. So coach didn't say that, but he said abdominal groin area, core muscle things, and those are typically sports hernia surgeries. So they underwent those a few weeks ago. And then now, you know, with Tyler Kroft getting hurt, breaking his foot, I think the most concerning thing is it's the same foot that he broke last year. So coach wouldn't say if it's the same exact bone or area of the foot, but knowing that foot has given him problems in the past, it's it's certainly a concern.
Yeah, and it's nothing to really, you know, get schizo. I was shocked at Murph's level of angst this morning when the injury list came out. This is pretty early for this stuff to happen, and it really doesn't concern me going forward, but maybe it does set them back a little bit in the early part of training camp or whatever. Is there no time frame at this point for any of these guys, right?
Yeah, no time frame. You know, feet are – they can be tricky injuries.
Yeah, I get the broken bones are a different story, but that's a couple of weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we don't know the nature of the breaks. I know those Jones fractures are really bad and have a high rate of recurrence. Sammy Watkins is a player that dealt with that kind of a break. I don't know what the nature of Tyler Croft's break is, but feet can be tricky. I mean, I can go all the way back to Ryan Denny, former defensive end for this team. They had to have a screw inserted in his foot and played his first game, broke it again, missed most of that year. John McCargo, former first-round pick, had a break in his foot, had a screw put in there. He re-injured that and missed time that season. So feet can be problems for football players, sometimes more than knee injuries, which sometimes, depending on the nature of the injury, have a better rate of recovery for some reason. So got to have your feet if you're going to play this game, and sometimes those injuries can be tricky. So we're certainly hoping for the best for Tyler Croft.
Chris, Steve has overstated my level of angst, by the way. I want you to be clear on that. I just said, oh. I mean, because as you said, you got these three, you know, UFAs, all three on the offensive side of the ball, none of them ready to go today. It's kind of like that's what we came to see in the OTAs, right? The new guys. How do the new guys look?
Right, and you're not going to see that, at least for a little while. And, you know, we haven't even made mention of this, but Russell Bodine is still trying to recover from off-season shoulder surgery, and he's not ready to participate either. So very quickly, what I at least believed, although Coach says there are no depth charts this time of year, what I think a lot of people believed were your top two players at center in terms of a depth chart are out of the mix. So now Spencer Long, who many thought was going to come in here and compete for a guard spot, is suddenly thrust into the role of starting center here as OTAs begin. I mean, you want to talk about establishing chemistry between Mitch Morse and Josh Allen. That is firmly on hold for the foreseeable future.
Chris Brown joining us from Bills practice. The OTA session number two is underway, and the reports are out there, Chris. Nothing confirmed from the Bills yet, but it looks like Jerry Hughes is ready to sign a contract extension, perhaps as soon as later today, and he is out there at practice today, right?
Yeah, I would anticipate it happens this afternoon after he, you know, gets himself cleaned up after practice. And then if that's the case, you know, we'll probably get some level of access to him later in the day. Provided that he puts pen to paper today. So, yeah, I mean, a good thing. I think when you look at the defensive end position, a lot of us knew he was in the last year of his contract. Shaq Lawson's in the last year of his contract. So there was going to have to be some kind of answer there in terms of addressing the future. I think Jerry Hughes has proven himself to be the most valuable pass rusher on this team, not only last season but before that. And as the guy led the team in sacks, quarterback hurries, tackles for loss, and forced fumbles in 2018. So even though he didn't have those kinds of sack numbers that you usually see for a Pro Bowl guy, he played at a Pro Bowl level. I'm sure you guys have even seen some of his Pro Football Focus metrics. In terms of pass rush productivity, he had a number of 10.9, and I know that's kind of arbitrary because you don't really know what to measure that against, but I'll put it to you this way. He led all defensive ends in football in pass rush productivity, according to Pro Football Focus. In fact, the only defensive lineman with a higher pass rush productivity rating than him in the entire league was a guy by the name of Aaron Donald.
Yeah, and it's not just about his production either, although his production was down last year as the entire defensive front in pass rushing was down. They didn't get very many sacks. But it's also about the guy that Jerry Hughes is, the example he sets, his work ethic, as much as his production. This is as much a cultural extension as it is a production extension. Right, Brownie?
Well, yeah. You know, I think, and I talked about this a little bit this morning on WGR, but he is a guy who has gone through a maturation process in his 6 years here in Buffalo. When he first got here via trade, Jerry was looking to get his, and I think he'd be the first to admit that. It was a guy who could not get on the field because he had to play behind Robert Mathis and Dwight Freeney in Indianapolis. Couldn't get any playing time, couldn't get any production, couldn't get any recognition. So he got here, and he's like, I got to put up some numbers so I can get mine. You know, thinking about the second contract, which is usually the big money contract for players in this league. And he did that. He had back-to-back 10-sack seasons and signs a giant deal here, a 5-year, $40 million contract. And good for him. But I think as he's gotten further along in that contract, I think his priorities have shifted. He wants to win now. He wants to be part of a successful football team. And that involves taking on a little bit more of a leadership role, cutting back on some of those personal foul penalties that he kind of developed an infamous reputation for. And he did that last year, and he was more of a leader. And now with Kyle Williams, you know, the vacuum created there, I think he has really stepped forward as a leader who wants to be part of a winning football team and is committed to pulling young players along with him to achieve that.
Chris Brown joining us, Bills Insider from BuffaloBills.com, on the field at the open media portion of today's organized team activity. I want to turn your attention, if I could, Chris, to look, we're not supposed to read too much into the way they line up in terms of starters and depth chart right now, but I wonder if you've had a chance to look at the corners to try to determine who's, you know, opposite Tre'Davious White and where that battle, I think it's a pretty interesting battle, where that battle might go over the next couple of weeks here going into the minicamp in mid-June.
Yeah, as you know, Levi Wallace is the incumbent starter from last year, and he's lining up out there right now as the incumbent starter opposite Trey White. Obviously, it's subject to change depending on how long it may or may not take. What I did find interesting was E.J. Gaines was lining up as Tre'Davious White's backup at the left cornerback spot while Kevin Johnson was on the right side backing up Levi. So I suppose that could shift and morph and change as the days and practices go along here, but for now, that's kind of where it sits.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about how many guys. I mean, the big debate these days is it better to have a pass rush, and they just extended Jerry Hughes, or is it better to have more corners? And the analytics are going to tell you it's better to have better coverage than it is to affect the quarterback. How many guys are you going to think about keeping at corner? You seem to be neck deep in safeties as well with the addition of Johnson from in the draft. You know, how do you think this secondary is going to shape out?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. You know, you didn't even touch on the nickel guys either.
Right.
You're talking about Taron Johnson, even the UB kid Cam Lewis, who, based on the numbers, is probably destined for a practice squad spot. But, yeah, I mean, this is the kind of roster, though, that Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott wanted to build, one where they're going to probably have to part ways with players who are probably going to end up on other 53-man rosters in the National Football League because the talent here is so good and so deep. So there will be tough decisions, but, I mean, you can't keep eight corners because you like eight guys. You just can't do it. It's not the way it works in the league. So, you know, at best you keep probably six. And then it's safe. If you're keeping six there, you're probably only keeping four safeties, and then you stash one or two of them on the practice squad. So in the event of injury, you have someone you like who you can call up and hopefully isn't pilfered by another NFL team and signed to their active roster.
Well, it's been a long time coming, but I think Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott can kind of – these are the kind of problems you don't mind having. Yeah. It's been a long time coming where you've got some – good players that just aren't good enough to make this team. In years past, those years have been few and far between where you've got a position group where you've got a pretty good depth and pretty good quality, and you're going to have to let some guys go that can really play. And it's kind of good to have those kind of problems, is it not, Brownie? It's the first time in a while.
Well, yeah, it's a good problem to have because they used to be the team trying to pilfer players off of other teams' rosters. So, yeah, it's a different – conversation that they're having now, and it's a good one.
All right, Chris Brown, I heard the horn. I know what that means. It's time for us to go. Thank you very much for joining us at practice today, and maybe we'll get a chance to do it again sometime during these OTAs. Thank you, Chris.
All right, take it easy, guys.
Chris Brown, Bills Insider, BuffaloBills.com, on the field at the OTAs, day two. As we said, a list of injuries that I didn't really freak out about, Steve, but it's notable when you got Tyler Kroft, Cole Beasley, Mitch Morse, Frank Gore, David Sills, Jeff Bodine, that's a big chunk of offense.
And conversely, I didn't mean to be cavalier about it either. Because it's a long list.
I think it is a long list.
It doesn't surprise me, but the length of it does. And some of these guys have been hurt coming up into this, too. So,
yeah.
It is May, so I'm not really – my level of angst is like below the bar, so we'll see.
The Jets game is a couple of months away. the opener, as is the Colts preseason game. And when you get to those games, going to be a new voice on our Bills radio broadcast, Sunday broadcast. Happy to announce today, right here on our show, that we have a brand new color analyst, and he's a familiar name for Bills fans. He's on the set with us right now. Eric Wood, ready to join the Buffalo Bills organization as a member of the media content team. In particular, he'll be the new color analyst on the Bills radio network, working with me on Sundays. Welcome, Eric. You've been here before.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I've been in studio before, in this building before, but it's fun to be back. Really excited about this opportunity.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Tell me about this opportunity and what excites you about it so much. And when you've been here a couple of times over since your retirement, and talk a little bit about dipping your toe in broadcasting. Now this is a full plunge into the broadcast waters.
Yeah, for sure. So I did a game for Fox last year. I did a couple pregame shows. Knew this fall I wanted to give it a full shot. I wanted to go both feet in. So I signed a deal with ACC Network, and then this Bills deal came along. With Kelso, want to focus on some other stuff, and this was too good to pass up. It's funny. I heard it all throughout my playing career that whenever you're done, you're going to miss this place, and that is true. And I did miss Western New York.
Yeah. What are you looking forward to about the ACC stuff? How often are you going to be working those? You got a full load there, right?
Yeah. So I'll be hopping from college games or hopping from the studio in Bristol over to Buffalo or wherever the Bills are going to be playing that week. So it'll be a busy fall, but really excited to be back involved with this organization. Even just today, my first day back up this year, seeing all the guys and familiar faces and just being around the building, it feels natural. Spent 9 years up here.
I could tell just walking around with you a little bit today how everybody was really happy to have you back, right? And all of them said the same thing. What are you doing here? Why are you here?
Yeah. And it kept it confidential but excited about it. And it'll be funny, guys I played with talking about them on air and taking unbiased, opinions. It'll be different. I always joke that I never knew what Kelso said about me after a game, but I knew if Phil Sims or one of those guys tore me up on TV. So maybe my criticisms will go a little more unnoticed.
Kelso ripped you, I just want to tell you.
Oh, I'm sure he did. I'm sure he did.
I was going to ask you, you've been gone like one season. How far away does that feel?
Pretty far, honestly. Yeah. And there was a good amount of turnover again this year. Off the playoff team, we had me and Richie depart, Cordy got traded, so a lot on offense got turned over. And then even again this year, with them struggling a little bit on offense last year, you can always expect some moves, almost a completely revamped O-line, so not a lot of familiar faces up there for me.
Is there anybody that you played with?
Connor McDermott is still here, Deion Dawkins, Vlad.
Right, okay.
But three.
That's about three out of 13 guys that got in camp.
It was, 18 months ago my career ended. So that's a lot of turnover. And then still Shady in the backfield and Pat DeMarco. And there's some familiar faces. Zay Jones was on the team. But a lot of turnover, especially on the offensive side of the football.
With Eric Wood, who's joining our Bills media content team. He'll be working with me on Sundays, calling the play-by-play. Eric will do color of the Bills radio broadcast. And you mentioned Mark Kelso, and I want to say this too. Mark and Steve played with Mark Kelso. He knows him well. But, I've done 16 – this will be my 16th season of play-by-play. I worked 13 of them with Mr. Kelso, Mark Kelso. He is one of the – I'll tell you, folks, he's one of the finest human beings I've ever met, let alone work with. And there, I've met a lot. He was an excellent color man. I thought he brought – you know what he brought? He brought, a work ethic to the entire team. He came on when I was going into my third year on play-by-play. We had Alex Van Pelt for a couple of years. Not that Alex didn't work, but Kelso took it to a new level. I recall Eric and Steve, and you can appreciate this, Steve, having a conversation with Marv Levy during Mark Kelso's first season. And he asked me, he's very fond of Kelso. He said, "How's Kelso working out on the radio?" And I said, "Coach, he works so hard, he forces everybody around him to step up their game." And Marv said, "Why do you think I kept him around on the team for so long?" Same thing, right? But just a wonderful man. I love him. I love his family. We will miss him. He's going to kind of dial in a little bit deeper into his work as with the NASCAR racing team, JTG Doherty Racing. I mean, and you'll experience this, Eric. And Mark was down there in Charlotte, North Carolina, Monday through Thursday, come back here Thursday night and go to work Friday on the Bills while watching video all week long on the Bills and their opponents. And you're going to do something similar, right? And you're living in Louisville still.
Yeah, we're still going to keep our house in Louisville, and I'll be commuting whatever my ACC gig is for that week and then commuting up here. So it'll be a lot of travel this fall. I'll really utilize that plane time to maximize my film time. I've reached out to some guys. There's other guys who do college and NFL radio. I've reached out to those guys. Kirk Morrison does it. Andre Ware does it. So there's some other guys. It's not unheard of. And, you know, I had to tell my wife that, you know, there's other guys with families that do this. It's okay. But even she's excited about this opportunity. And everything you said about Kelso is everything I've heard as well. You know, extremely hardworking. You can't find a person in this organization or community that has ever said a bad word about Mark Kelso. So I have big shoes to fill, and I'll approach it with the same work ethic.
It's interesting, too, because people think, wow, you travel on weekends. You get a chance to be at home during the week. But it's funny, you're during the week where you can spend time with your family is when everybody else is working.
Right.
And when everybody else is free and they're doing stuff on weekends, you're grinding away. You know, and Murph is kind of the same thing. You work 5 days a week on the radio, and then you go do the weekend thing. So, and I did that 7 days a week last year when I was with CBS. Now I get a chance to like – There'll be times when you're, you know, going through that same airport for the 15th time that season where it's like, you know, I don't know how long I can, you know, do this. But if you like the work, which I hope you do, it'll be okay. I mean, if you enjoy the work, it'll be worth it, and I hope you do. But how do you think it's going to go from going from NCAA to the NFL?
It's going to be a lot of work. And from doing college games last year, they're very tough to prepare for because
19,000 guys.
The rosters are enormous. There's so much turnover year after year. You know, in the NFL, you got a lot of familiar faces, especially on that 1-2 on the depth chart. And there really is only a 1-2. You know, I did a Kansas State-Iowa State game last year at the end of the season, and there were guys that were not on the initial media guide that were going to be playing in that game. We had to ask their SID, you know, give us something on this kid because he's going to play tonight, and if he gets an interception, we need something. Right. And but it was fun, and I'm excited about it. Over the past year, one of the things I was missing was challenging work, you know, trying to get better at something and just challenge myself daily. And this year we'll do it, and we'll see. But I'm looking forward to the challenge of it in preparing week in and week out.
Eric Wood getting ready to join our Buffalo Bills media content team. He's going to be part of our radio broadcast on Sundays. I'll be working with Eric in the Bills radio broadcast booth. You're also going to be on our show, I guess, on a regular basis, right? On One Bills Live a lot on Mondays. Is that part of the deal?
Mondays after home games, I'll stick around and do media work around here. So
Steve wants to know if he can have that day off then.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah, why not? You know, I don't want to crowd you guys.
Yeah. Right, but that'll be good. That'll be fun. And especially, and you can appreciate this being around here, a Monday after a Bills game, and they're different wins and losses, but a Monday after the Bills game, that's all anybody in Buffalo will talk about. And we benefit from that on this show.
Right. I've done some local radio in Louisville down in the summer.
You've done it here too on Mondays.
And here as well. But I've co-hosted shows over the summer when those guys are looking to take some vacation. I'm just looking for reps.
Yeah.
Man, it's hard to fill 3 hours sometimes. On Mondays during the NFL season, especially after those home games, it will not be hard for us to fill airtime.
Yeah.
You know, we'll have plenty of callers and all that. I don't think it'll be too tough of work. And what's good with that is, one, that's more reps for me, you know, more on-air time. And then, two, any work like that is prep time for the following weekend. It's more familiarity with the roster. So I saw that as an opportunity to just kind of further get experience through this fall.
All right, speaking of getting reps, let's do this. So let's pick it. I'm going to grab a play from last season. Murph will call the play, and this will be the first time you guys work together in the booth, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. It's a standard play. We got one from the Tennessee Bills game last year.
Right. It's a perfect play. It's just a regular run-of-the-mill play. It's nothing screwy or anything. Just a special teams play because that's my thing. So
I'm super familiar with.
Right, here we go. So here comes the play. Murph, you go ahead. Right. This is, people will hear it.
It's Bills in Tennessee, and the Bills with a 9-play drive, and they line up for a field goal drive here, second quarter of the snap. Bohorquez stands up and runs. What's he doing? Tries to throw a pass, almost intercepted. What is Corey Bohorquez doing? Take it away, Eric.
This is the impact that you get when you run through punters through the season. You know, the miscommunication, that comes from lack of experience. Colton Schmidt, I don't know that he makes that play there.
We picked deliberately the craziest play, maybe the biggest botch play of last year. And it turned out the Bills won the game, so we can laugh about it. But, man, stuff like that happens. I always tell people, Eric, when you're doing those broadcasts, it's, you know, you study all week. You'll watch video. We all watch video. You study the opponents. You know what the Bills are up to. And then the game starts, and it's like a three-hour test. And no matter how hard you study, something's going to happen. It's like, what? Like that play.
Right, and that's a panic play by a young kid who's inexperienced. Steven's approaching to kick the ball. They obviously, you know, as Steve knows, there's always – some type of signal coming in from the sideline to see if the fake was there. That's a young kid.
It's
panicking.
Interesting too, and I was laughing because you think that never happens. It does. It happens every so often. I was reminded, Murph, you had a great punter that you played with, Brian Mormon.
Yep.
I don't know if you remember this. His first play as a Bill, when he came out to punt, the opponent baited him into thinking there was somebody uncovered outside. He tried to throw a pass on his first punt as an NFL player, and he botched it. First play ever. Now he turns out to be this all-time great punter for the team. But things like that start out. When I started playing, my first special teams play ever was a blocked extra point right back in my face as the holder for Tony Zendejas.
Okay.
I mean, stuff like that happens constantly.
Right.
You got to be ready for it. And we did that on purpose set you up for success right out of the game, right?
Yeah, that's perfect.
It'll never get harder than that.
It couldn't have been inside zone.
Running play off the right.
Yeah. And that leads to this question. As you prepare for the games, do you think you will focus, and as you do the games, focus on line play, offensive line play mostly, or – you got to expand your vision a little bit.
Yeah, and talking with producers for games I did last year and even prepping for this year, they want me to do what I'm good at. And they understand that I see the field from the inside out, being a center. I'm not going to say I'm a quarterback expert, but I was in a great relationship with our quarterbacks at all times. So I can speak on some type of quarterback play, but for me it's all inside out. And they're like, that's fine. You don't necessarily – we don't expect you to be watching the receivers on every single play.
Right.
That's fine. Use your perspective and use your your knowledge. You know, I have a PhD in football, but it's not necessarily as receiver play. Now, I'll gain experience, and that stuff I'll have to study, but I'm not going to start there.
It is like a PhD, and you're like you're an internal medicine guy, and this guy's orthopedic surgeon.
Exactly.
You know, this is a different field. Also, I got to ask you, now, where are you going to get your film to watch? How are you going to – what do you got, websites? Or you got Hoops One? What do you use?
Let me know.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
I mean, for college last year, Fox had pushed out some stuff to me.
Right.
You know, here's their last two opponents and all that. You know, for the college game, I reached out to Chris Spielman, who was a Bills guy, and he does some NFL and college. And I was asking him, you know, you got two unfamiliar teams, which this won't happen in the NFL. For most teams, I know they're coordinators you know, players and whatnot, but I had no idea about either team. He said, go back and watch TV copy so you hear the names over and over. And he said, when you're driving in the car, flip it on your phone just so you keep hearing the names and you just hear them talk about it. And then you might catch a storyline and then, hey, let me look up an article on that. Mm-hmm. And that's how I did it last year. For this year, I'm not exactly sure. I'm open to suggestions.
NFL.com has the service, and we'll make sure you get that. But and Spielman's right, because I watch coaches' video to see who's lining up where. Mm-hmm. And also, they have the what do they call it? The shortened version, the condensed version.
Yeah.
So you can watch a game with the names and with the announcers and the storylines. Real quick.
I watched a bunch of those last year prepping for my athletic columns. Because you know, on Sunday, I'd be watching the Bills game at home, but we'd have people over, and I'm grilling wings or something, and then I'd go to write a column the next day, and I'm like, well, I better go watch every single snap again, just so I don't miss something
busy. You're going to be doing the ACC. You're going to on TV. You're going to do the Bills and NFL on radio every weekend, and you're also going to be writing for the Athletic as well, right?
That deal is not set in stone yet.
Not set in stone. So, okay.
Yeah. So we'll see if they make it worth my time. I will, because I did enjoy that, and the feedback I got from that was incredible. I end up getting a lot of great media opportunities through the week, and I'm not saying it was a correlation to this, but I did a lot of work last fall, just kind of patchworked a little bit of a resume together to try and get some opportunities for this year.
Well, believe me, if you're doing all that stuff, your time is going to be worth more than it when they think it is.
Right, for sure.
Because it's going to be very scarce.
Good for you.
Awesome.
Right now?
I am, actually. I've got some experience in that.
His time is very valuable, Steve.
It is.
Hey, can you stick for another segment? We want to talk. You watch a little bit of OTAs, and we want to get your sense on what this Bills team is all about this year. We'll come back with Eric Wood. And with the announcement moments ago, he's going to be the new color analyst on the Bills Radio Network, originating here in Buffalo on WGR Sports Radio 550 and throughout the 20-station Buffalo Bills Radio Network. More on Eric Wood, more with Eric Wood when we return. It's One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to One Bills Live. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. We had a good show, a lot to get covered today. Steve's worried that we won't get it all in, but we will. I told him we will.
We're going to get it in what we can get in.
Robert Mays is going to join us from the Ringer at 1. We're going to hear from the players, Josh Allen and maybe others at 1:30. Chris Berman joins us at 2 o'clock. This is a big-time show here, Eric. You're going to be part of it.
Big time.
I wish I would have been around for Berman.
He's right. Coming on at 2. Come on back. Eric Wood is with us. Just announced by us that Eric is going to be the color analyst on the Bills Radio Network, joining the Bills media content team. He'll have work to do here. He'll be on the show with us many Mondays during the regular season. You had a chance to watch a few minutes of like the stretch portion of OTA, but you follow this team. And one of the big questions on this roster right now is offensive line and who's lining up where. Can you illuminate us and what you think should happen maybe up front there?
Man, it's hard to say at this point. You know, I love how many experienced bodies they brought in. Nowadays in the NFL, it's hard to find quality linemen. The rookies coming in, they're not playing NFL-type football. You know, it's rare that you get a Deion Dawkins-type player that can come in and play immediately, and he's tough, and he played with his hand in the dirt at Temple. There's not a ton of those guys anymore. Yeah. So getting guys with experience, you know, the best offensive lines in the NFL to me are never the star-studded, you know, first rounder after first rounder. And those work out at times. You know, you saw one with the Cowboys a few years ago, and they had just that absolutely dominant line. But for the most part, the most solid lines in the NFL are guys with a lot of experience. They're smart. They do their job playing and play out. And it seems like that's what they're trying to build here. I love that they went after a high-paid, really high-quality center. You have Josh Allen on his rookie deal. Yeah, I love high-paid centers. Right. It's perfect.
Yeah, hey. We used to have one.
But exactly. But when you have a quarterback on his rookie deal, one, you can pay some more guys on the team like that. Two, you want a guy in front of him that can speak some wisdom into him, a guy that's played a bunch of ball, and you don't want a guy that's in his face. You know, Mitch Morse is a big, strong center. He's played a lot of ball, and I've been impressed with him. So I love that addition, and then build around him. I think one of their biggest issues last year, and this is even from talking to guys on the team, is when you're rotating the center position, there's no leader in the room. That's the voice of your room. Well, then nobody's got a voice. Ryan Groy doesn't have a voice. Russell Bodine doesn't have a voice. Me and Richie are gone. Cordy's gone. Well, then there's no leadership. And to me, that was an issue, and I get why they did it. They wanted to put the best guy on the field, but it makes it really tough on an O-line room.
Everybody's talking about him because we all talk about I certainly have never played offensive line and nobody has, but we always talk about this chemistry thing. This offensive line's got to gel. Okay, how long is that going to take?
Let's see how smart these guys are.
Right.
You know,
right.
Honestly, you know, you got a new O-line coach in Bobby Johnson. They got to learn some new techniques. So that's part of it. But it's year two with Daboll, but a lot of new bodies.
Right.
So you got to learn these techniques. You got to learn the offense. You get a smart group up front, it could take not that long at all. You got to get up to line of scrimmage, communicate. Now, you got some guys, if you have some guys that struggle mentally, that chemistry portion of it, it comes a lot slower.
They don't know a lot about these guys, though. They're all, like you say, they're all new. And so you've got a lot of moving parts. You got new guys, new offense, new terminology. And you got to figure out, in some cases, where they're going to play. I mean, right guard, left guard, right tackle, right guard, you know.
Right.
That's a lot of experimentation. And when you say it might not take that long, what's like not that long and what's – and we all know entirely too long is never getting it right.
Right. I would say ideally by the end of OTAs, they have a pretty good idea where all five starters are going to be, where they can hit the ground running in training camp. And luckily, we know who the center is going to be, you know. And you work
and he's
out,
hurt.
And you—he is hurt right now, you know, and that stinks because you know you really like for him and Josh to be getting some chemistry right now. There's the chemistry word.
Every rep hurts. Every rep helps and hurts.
Absolutely, and I mean I always hated missing any rep at practice. It drove me nuts just because that was wasted time, you know. But you know, Mitch has played enough ball in this league, and I think a big part about it is a lot of these guys have played in the league, so it's not their first snap. It's not going to be a deer in the headlights look when we go to New York in the opening game. But in the same sense, the more reps they can get as a starting five, through training camp and in the preseason games, the better they'll be as a group.
Eric, you had Bobby Johnson here in his first go-around with the Bills a couple of years ago. What can you tell us about him, and what should we look for from his group?
You know, Bobby, number one, is a great communicator, which you need from a coach and an O-line coach. He impressed me from day one how he could communicate what he wanted from the guys crystal clear. I always hated playing for coaches where, you know, it was never black and white. You know, it was okay. No, Bobby's going to shoot you straight, and he demands excellence on every play. So great communicator. He instills toughness in the guys. You know, he works out. He brings the intensity each day, and then he's smart. You know, he's been in different offenses. You know, he's getting the chance to be the head O-line coach now. He was with a great group in Indy last year, and he's picked up some nuances from different guys. Now it's time to put it all together, and I'm excited about his opportunity here.
Well, the linchpin, right from the get-go of free agency when they signed Mitch Morse, I mean, they're going to plug him in. And obviously he's smart, articulate, and he's one of those guys that is a quality center.
Mm-hmm.
How long would it take him if he steps in and he is that lead dog kind of voice in the room for these other guys to shuffle out? I mean, obviously, particularly since he's not in there and he's not going to practice in these OTAs. I mean, how far back does that set them in their development?
Hopefully not a lot, because hopefully he's garnishing enough respect in the room just being – you know,
the type of guy.
Fact of the matter is, he's played at an extremely high level. He's regarded as maybe the top center in the game right now. He is the top paid in his position in the NFL. You know, that guy is going to get respect in the room. And just because you miss some OTA practices in shorts, especially as an O-lineman, isn't the end of the world. Yes, you want every rep and you want to be out there. It's not the end of the world. But get right for training camp, because now it's, you know, at that point when the pads come on, you start playing real ball up front. Man, you got to gel as a group.
Right. Eric, offensive question in general. What are the realistic expectations for Josh Allen this season, second season of the league?
You know, I see a lot of these polls on Twitter, how many yards and whatnot. Yeah. Man, I'd like to see him win 10 games. You know, I think that's what I'm worried about, wins and losses. You know, I have high expectations for Josh, because I thought when he came back from the injury last year, even though the passing yards, even though they weren't 300-yard games, some of the throws he would make on third down, you know, just a nice hole shot in a zone for a first down, you know, stand in the pocket a little bit longer, going through his progressions. I just saw little things that if he can just, you know, he's got all the arm talent in the world. He's fast. He's way more athletic than anyone ever thought he was, doing the things with his legs on the field. But, man, if he can just continue to develop, I think he could have a really strong year. But if they're mauling guys up front, they got Frank Gore and they got Shady, it's more about wins and losses in this league.
And we talk about this a lot. Murph and I sit here every day and hash this and chew this up. And so we've brought this up a zillion times. Listeners are going to have to bear with us. I want to get your take on it. Last year, and I don't know how much of the Bills you saw, whether you saw every game or just some of them, when he came back after the injury, as you said, there was – tangible things you saw week after week that were different, better. He threw the ball away.
Mm-hmm.
He slid. He ran out of bounds. And then even in week 17, he completed 65% of his passes and took the easy completions. There were tangible steps, it seemed like, from even the casual observer, that he got better. Did you see that, and can that continue?
Yeah, I believe so. It continues to get better when you add offensive line pieces up front. Right. So you got to assume the offensive line play would be better up front. It's year two in an offense for everybody. So everybody's going to be more comfortable in this offense. Then you add some weapons outside. You add Croft at tight end. And now let's really see what he can do when he's got Cole Beasley, you know, one of the premier slot receivers in the game, especially for third down conversions. Second year with Robert Foster, Zay Jones, John Brown stretching the field. When you add all these pieces – you know, I know personally I'm looking for there to be a jump. Now, I don't want to predict a stat total for him.
Yeah, no.
Because for me, especially in Western New York, that's all relative.
Right.
You know, 65% of passes in week 17, you know, in Miami is different than Buffalo, New York.
Sure.
Right.
Well, Eric, you and I got a lot of work to do between now and the season kickoff. We got some more. We'll do some practice games. We're going to get you down on that Bohorquez play because we want to get you ready, a little bit better on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, perfect.
But it's really great. I look forward to working with you. It's going to be a nice, fun time.
Basically, he's saying he's giving you an excuse to have a few pops with Murph.
I know. Yeah.
He can talk a big game about preparation and stuff, but you know.
We have work to do. This is not CBS.
Exactly. Yeah, and this is off-campus prep. This is this is like backroom at Ely. A backroom Elio DePaulo's type.
That's
crap.
Right. It's like, honey, we're working.
I'm working hard here. Seriously, I'm really excited. Congratulations, and look forward to spending a lot of time with you the next several months. Thanks.
Likewise, man. You always were incredible to me throughout my career, and I'm looking forward to my next career.
Yeah.
You know, working in step with you.
Excellent. Eric Wood coming on with the Bills media content team. He's going to be the color analyst on the radio side when we do Bills play-by-play on Sundays on Entercom Radio on WGR Radio. We're coming back with more. Steve and I got a lot to do today. Steve feels like we're overbooked. We'll find out. It's One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Right
now.
One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy with Steve Tasker. Thanks again to Eric Wood. Really excited about having him as part of the broadcast.
Kelso's a good friend of ours, has yeah. been, and just like me. I mean, I'm moving on in my broadcast career and some of the things that I was doing, and Kelso is too. He's busy with his NASCAR stuff. But it's a big change for you, right? You got a different guy, different chemistry, different feel in the booth, different, because I've been with different play-by-play guys as well over the course of my career. And it's different in your prep.
Oh,
it's different in the way you feel about setting the guy up and the way the conversations I was teasing you, but you really do have a lot of work to do. You got to start having a few pops, getting casual.
It's not about pops. Here's
you guys, I don't think you guys are close enough friends yet.
Here's the thing. And by the way, there were not a lot of pops with Mark Kelso, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I do think with whether it's Kelso or Van Pelt or Eric now, you want to play to their strengths, right? You know this. You want to find out what he's comfortable with. I mean, we have a sense now what he's comfortable with. I've known him since he showed up here as a draft pick, right? In 2009. So I've known him for 10 years.
Right.
But you gotta play to their strengths, find out what he's comfortable talking about.
And I agree with you completely. And it's best. And I don't know if people think about this or not. I know I used to never think about it, but now I do. It plays, but like you and I have this show. We go 3 hours a day. And I've actually had people going, "Wow, does Steve and Murph really get along?" I've had people.
Yeah, I like when they ask that.
We're good. We've been friends for 30 years. I mean, here's the thing. We can argue and whatever and disagree, but we're still buddies. I mean, we're still going out for a pop after work on Fridays, right? I mean, so a couple of pops. But that it works best when you really are good friends with it. You're not just co-workers where you show up on a weekend and you land in the booth and it's the first time you see each other for 7 days or whatever.
Right.
You really do got to spend some time together and become friends, because then you can share in the booth. You can share airtime. You can share ideas, and you can lay out and know that the guy's going to give it back to you, right? And
He'll be great.
Yeah, you got to get there with him.
I will. Don't worry.
He'll never be me, pal. Just remember that. He'll never replace me.
Well, there is a generational difference, obviously, between you and Eric that I will be well aware of.
Yeah.
We got a busy show today. So Chris Brown joined us early, right, from the OTA. Mm-hmm. They're on the field now, Eric Wood. We got Robert Mays coming up. He canceled on us yesterday, and we'll see how his voice is. Apparently, he went to a concert.
I got to ask him
Sunday.
Who
did he see? Yeah, why? How did you lose your voice?
Question number one.
Yeah, were you singing along? Robert Mays writes for The Ringer. He's got some really interesting stuff. Hope to hear from Josh Allen coming off the field at 1:30. Chris Berman, perhaps you've heard of him, going to join us at 2. And Jerry Hughes on the news that apparently he's reached a contract extension with the Buffalo Bills. We expect to pick up some of his news conference coming up as well. The Bills still on the field for the OTA, day 2 of the OTAs. With a number of injuries, Sean McDermott at an 11:30 a.m. news conference today kind of outlined what the Bills are looking at as far as injuries going into day 2 of the OTAs. Here he is.
That's a challenge. And then when you talk about you know, availability. Now, when we're not available, it's not ideal. Is it going to stop us? No, we're going to continue to work, and that's where the trust that I have, Brandon and myself and our medical staff, that's what they're here for as well.
Did you have pause in terms of how you, I mean, what you would do on the field in terms of wanting to get through healthy, like maybe scaling things back or anything like that?
I mean, we always evaluate. And you hate to see guys get hurt. In some cases, these guys haven't been on the field, and that's where free agency is free agency, as they say. And so we've just got to continue to work and build a mentally and physically tough football team. And sometimes you're going to get some dings. Don't get me wrong. That's a part of it as well. So I'd much rather develop a physically and mentally tough football team than. You know, hey, we go play golf every day and everyone's healthy. I mean, there's a delicate balance there.
There you go, Sean McDermott. So here's the injury list, and it is extensive. And, yes, it's only OTAs. The most serious one, the one that I guess caught me by surprise, I'd heard about some of the others, but Tyler Kroft broke his foot in practice yesterday, the first OTAs during the opening of OTAs. Sean McDermott made the announcement today saying there's no timetable for Kroft's return. There is speculation that it could be a couple of months. We'll wait and see. Tyler Kroft happened yesterday, broken foot. Cole Beasley, Mitch Morris, core muscle injuries with groins not participating today. Maybe a while before they get ready to go. Frank Gore, foot and ankle injury suffered last season, keeping him on the sidelines. Rookie wide receiver David Sills with a hamstring suffered in rookie camp. He's sidelined today. Jeff Bodine, offensive lineman, still with his shoulder. Taron Johnson, Raphael Bush coming off injuries from last year. Taron Johnson, the nickel corner. They have no contact jerseys on. They take part in some of the workouts, but no contact jersey. I'm not suicidal about it, Steve. But I want to see the new guys. I want to see the new guys practice this week in OTAs. We don't get a chance to see them now.
Yeah, he's right. It does. But listen, if you're going to have injuries, now's the time.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
So most of these guys are probably going to hit the ground running. Maybe before even the end of OTAs, and certainly by the beginning of training camp, they'll be back in the saddle, and it'll be, you know, they'll have, you know, it'll be nothing but a bump, like I say, a bump in the road. So, but it does kind of slow down the development of the lineups and where they're going to line up, who's going to line up, and like we talked to Eric Wood just a minute ago, they, you know, a couple of guys, I mean, like, you know, like Deion Dawkins and Mitch Morris are probably plugged in at their respective positions, left tackle and center. After that, I really think all those names are really in a hat. Don't you, Murph?
Offensive line?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was hoping to get some sort of indication which way it was going, and I thought it was significant what Eric said. Eric Wood said you would think by the end of minicamp, which is not that far away,
that
a month
fast.
Away.
Yeah, I thought that was really fast.
By the end of minicamp, you would think they have guys plugged into where they're going to be. I hope he's right. I need to get an
you
idea.
Need you need that?
I do need it. Do it for my sake. Yeah, do it for my sake. So, we got a Twitter poll today. No voting on it, but we want to hear from you, and we will have time as the show moves along, even though we are a bit overbooked. We want to know from you which Bills player will lead the team in receptions this year and why. You got some people to choose from here. My choice would be Cole Beasley, and I assume he's going to be healthy sooner or later. But there are other people to choose from, right? I mean, there's a lot of guys you could choose from. John Brown, Zay Jones, who led the team last year in receiving. LeSean McCoy, maybe one of the tight ends. That's our Twitter poll question. Who will lead the team in receptions this year and why?
So, listen, I don't know who listens to the show. We have a lot of people. We go out places,
For pops, right,
and for breakfast, and I left the One Bills Live Twitter thing for like 20 minutes. We got like 200 and something note. Everybody chiming in on this. I mean, you leave this thing for a minute. I don't know how many gazillion people listen to this show, but it seems like a lot when they start getting feedback from all these people. Everybody has an idea about how this team is going to be, and I think it's because of the optimism expressed not only by us but by guys like Eric Wood and every other, and now, of late, even the national media people are starting to go, and as they start to get ready for the season, they're starting to dive a little deeper into Buffalo than they have in this offseason, and they're starting to say, whoa, wow, I didn't realize this and this and this and this had happened. So people are chiming in on our Twitter poll in a big, big way. Now they think, you know, Mellon Halls thinks Zay Jones should be the most motivated receiver on the team. Brown and Beasley threatening his paying time. He'll be looking to improve statistically again this year as he nears his second contract. He's shown he can stay alive and find space when Allen's running around. There's a lot to be said for that. And you always talk about, we had Eric Wood just now, said it's the O-lines, it's that chemistry thing and the communication. It is exactly the exact same thing when you're talking about a quarterback and his receivers. The receivers, it's their job to think like their quarterback thinks, to do what their quarterback wants them to do without ever having a conversation about what he's thinking. You got to anticipate what he's thinking. One of the things that happened to me in my career is late in my career, there was a train wreck and like 16 guys got hurt and I got plugged in at wide receiver. And I played for a couple of games. And Jim liked throwing me the football. And I don't know how to explain it. It was because I knew what he was thinking. I'd been watching him for so long throw to really good players that when I got in there, I did what I knew he wanted his players to do. So I acted like that. And he threw me the ball all the time because when he thought something, I had already thought of it and was there. So that kind of chemistry is exactly what Josh Allen has to get with these other guys. Yeah. And they're brand new. How long that takes, I don't know. But all of these guys have way more ability than I did, so hopefully it'll go fast.
They're working on it now. OTAs, day two. Hey, we got a lot more to talk about as the show moves along. Chris Berman joins us at 2. We'll talk with Robert Mays of The Ringer about a variety of pro football topics. He's a deep thinker, and he's given some thought to things like the role of defensive ends in the future and other stuff. It's pretty good. We'll talk with Robert Mays. Come on back. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. This is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.